Welcome to Outspoken, a storytelling event in which all speakers identify as LGBTQ. The story you are about to hear was recorded live in front of a storytelling audience at Sidetrack in Chicago. Outspoken. Retell. Relive. Relate. Now, here's our story.
Welcome, Lindsay, to the stage.
Gin, 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 gin. And yes, that is the main theme music from Jurassic Park, but with every word replaced with the word gin. This was the first thing I heard upon boarding the crowded bus outside of one of Lakeview's finest faux British pubs. It was 9 a.m. on a Saturday, and a giant handle of Beefeater was making its way down the aisles. I worried that maybe we didn't bring enough beer for the 16-hour round trip, but maybe these guys would share. After a stern lecture involving warnings about glassware and pooping in the poorly ventilated bus toilet, we were off. We had barely hit the first stoplight when the songs began in earnest, bros from Humboldt Park and Uptown doing their best impression of British lads, singing disparaging ditties about the state of Ohio. We still had 8 hours on the bus and 11 until kickoff before reaching our final destination, Crew Stadium in Columbus, giving my fellow passengers plenty of time for multiple completed rounds of 99 bottles of gin on the wall. And in case you were wondering, a complete round of 99 bottles of gin on the wall takes approximately 30 minutes, and 8 hours on a bus, you do the math. I was familiar with the obsessive love sports fans possess. I'm from Chicago, after all. My dad attempted to take me to the first night game at Wrigley Field when I was 2 weeks old, a move my mother vetoed. I've been tailgating since I could walk, and when the Cubs put a century and change of hope and longing and speculation to rest last fall, overcome with emotion, I boozily professed my love for everyone I saw, for Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant's bromance, for the entire city of Chicago, for my family and everyone's family who had spent so much time waiting. I drunk dialed my dad. But if you had asked me even a year before this day on the bus if I would ever travel to see the Chicago Fire play, let alone go to a home game, I would have feigned ignorance about Chicago having a professional soccer team. And then I met my girlfriend. Una was wearing a Chicago Fire button the weekend we met. Less than a month into our dating, she took me to my first match. She roped me in with the tailgating, but I became enamored with the supporters section, the boisterous chanting, the drummers keeping time, the capos leading cheers in their cage at the front. One so in the throes of passion, he actually took his pants off. The Harlem ended during the first impression rose. In the months that followed, I began helping Una prepare elaborate Bloody Mary bar-infused tailgates, learning the players' names and getting to know the culture. By the summer of 2013, the Fire had essentially become a third party in our relationship. We planned our weekends according to the team's schedule. She would send me a sweet nothing text, and I'd respond with, "Hey, I saw on Twitter we're looking at Jermaine Jones. What do you think of him? Midfield could use a boost." I'd go on to co-found a supporters group and enthusiastically share our beautiful mutual friend with my friends by bringing them to matches. Checking in after, like, this was a new beau. "Didn't you just love her? Wasn't this so much fun?" When we began talking about moving in together, a long, protracted debate ensued over how we were going to display our ever-growing collection of scarves. Which is how I ended up here, taking the next big step in our relationship. My first away trip, committing to 16 hours on a bus to Ohio, holding a concerning cup of blue-green ooze that the gentleman two rows behind me was sharing. "Try it," he said. "I call it Gin Lortitos." The smell was somewhere between dentistoffice and gasoline. I managed to choke down a cup of the stuff, and which was thankfully more mint than Malort, and tasted like boozier mouthwash. Jocko, he of the gin lord Hitos, was an elder statesman of the fire supporter community and frequent away travel enforcer, and thanks to his stature, sarcasm, and ability to put away more malort than any one person should be able to consume, I initially found him intimidating. Later that season, when another regular harassed us for bringing a pride flag into the supporter section, it was Jocko who checked in with us to make sure we were okay, and Jocko who brought a rainbow Chicago flag to the next match. The flag is now a fixture at home games. I think about this gesture a lot, especially when thinking about how the fight for visibility in the sporting world tends to apply to fans as well as the personnel on the field, especially since Una and I really operate in this community so much as a couple. We kiss after big goals and work tailgates together, her at the grill and me expediting. She plans our away travel and I come along for the ride. We deal with the occasional ignorant jerks, but also plenty of lovely people. Lovely people who really love malort. From the moment we enter Columbus city limits on the bus to the final whistle at the end, the section is all noise and energy, dodging yellow smoke bombs in the parking lot, trying to match in volume of chanting and drumming with the home section across the stadium, heckling and being heckled by the anonymously evil AYSO kids sitting around us. At home matches, the two fire supporter sections are on opposite sides of the stadium and rarely interact. But at away matches, we're all together, learning each other's chants and mannerisms and remembering we're all here for the same thing. The energy that drew me in the first place is at its strongest and loudest, and this is why even though road wins, are statistically rare, I actually prefer away matches to watching the team at home, especially when we win, which we did, making the exit out of the stadium all smug and satisfied, and even louder, song wafting through the concrete structures, foamy beer cups tossed into the air, Una's arm around me, all the sweeter. Until we got back out to the parking lot and two drunk opposing fans got just a bit too close to the group. Two older guys with us, original fans from the Soldier Field days who had long been banned from the stadium for shooting off flares, chased them down. Both sides started throwing punches, but it was quickly diffused and everyone rushed on the bus. If you ask them why they did it, they might say it's out of love, although that's not a sufficient answer. It's been more than 3 years since that first excursion. Our love for this silly soccer team has taken us to Kansas City, Portland, Denver, and Atlanta for away matches, trips that have solidified our commitment to our team and our commitment to each other as a team. The club has fallen on tough times. The Fire haven't made the playoffs since 2012 and have finished dead last the past 2 years. The supporters community is angry, apathetic, and fractured. Its online presence full of cynicism and navel-gazing on good days, harassment and infighting on bad ones. Some days I think about giving up on it altogether and staying home on match days to write or ride my bike around the woods or day drink at Sidetrack or do literally anything else. And I know it seems silly to feel so much doubt and anger over a soccer team, especially with the world being basically on fire and over something that people participate in for fun and to escape the mundanity of our lives. But those feelings really are the perfect and laughably cliche and explicit metaphor for a relationship. There are going to be bad days, months, years, days where you think about how you could easily walk, you could easily stop investing so much time and effort and money and start seeing other sports teams. You call up Portland and are like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? But what brought me into the fold and what keeps me in the increasingly sparse Harlem end and drinking in that unpaved parking lot with a group of people who I like sometimes and one particular person who I love all the time, season after season, loss after loss, is that my love for this stupid soccer team grew out of experiencing something that someone I love also loved. It was something we could share together and experience as a team. Somewhere where even though we were part of a community of thousands, it felt uniquely shared. That we built our own language around it of chants and player stats and yelling about this supporter drama to each other while our non-soccer friends scratched their heads. Something we built our best ideas around and had fun. An apparatus by which we can place and sort these beautiful and weird snapshots of our relationship and serve chili and pozole to hungry tailgaters, take shots of Fireball in the pouring rain and sing Keep On Loving You at the top of our lungs and use as an excuse to have adventures. Sometimes we'll disagree on this or that, what the management should do here or what we should do about this person. It allows us to challenge each other, which is something I think we all should do and have space for. It's connected us to our city, which is another entity we love always and forever. And this weekend, we'll pack up the car again with meats and folding chairs and pull up to the big complex just south of the city, ready to fall in love all over again.
This has been Outspoken. Outspoken is curated by David Fink and is hosted by Kim L. Hunt and Art Johnston. Audio production is by Ray Teresi. Music by Josh McLean. General manager of Sidetrack is me, Brad Bailoff. Outspoken is a storytelling event with speakers from the LGBTQ community and is recorded live in front of an audience at the legendary Sidetrack in Boys Town of Chicago. To find out more about Outspoken, go to SidetrackChicago.com. Outspoken. Retell. Relive. Relate. Thank you for listening.